Hey guys, this week myself and Alex are really excited and honoured to be joined by Soph Miller, who is the founder and owner of Pretty Little Marketer. Pretty Little Marketer is about career advice, marketing advice, personal branding and social media marketing. Since launching the Instagram page just over a year ago, Pretty Little Marketer has gained over 24,000 followers. So I guess my first question to you, Sophie, welcome to the podcast, is how do you feel about that growth?
It's crazy. So I set up PLM on a bit of a whim. I'm sure we'll get into the proper story shortly, but it was just a random Sunday and I was frustrated at Google. And so I set up this Instagram page. I am an Aquarius, so naturally I'm quite lazy. I don't think I've ever started a new hobby and seen it through. For example, I remember when I was a kid, I begged my parents to pay hundreds for karate lessons. For reference, I'm 5 foot. I'm really small and I probably weigh not much. And karate was not for me. I had piano lessons and I think like 3 weeks later I gave up. So my whole life, I've never really stuck at something. So I guess in two halves, personally, I'm surprised I've seen it through a year. And in terms of like business-wise, I am, kind of just been winging my way through the year. It makes me very happy. It's been absolutely crazy. Never thought this would be my life a year later, but here we are, and I'm very grateful.
Love that. I always think winging it sometimes is like that leap of faith that you just need to like see something through.
Absolutely.
So what inspired you, I suppose, to set it up in the first place? I know you said you did it on a bit of a whim, but what kind of was like your thought process behind it? What was like the inspiration and the drive to kind of start doing it and doing it consistently as well?
Yeah, so I, a bit of backstory, I went to uni at 21. So I had 3 years office experience. I worked in events coordination, which is jazzy or as fancy as it sounds. It actually horrendated my job. So then going into university, I was lucky enough to have like real world experience that I know a lot of people who head to university straight away don't have. So in my second year, I was fortunate enough to land my first ever role in industry at a local marketing agency. So I was working with some of the UK's biggest brands, the world's biggest influencers. And I was very aware of how lucky I was to have that role. You know, in my second year of uni, there's graduates who struggle for a year, if not longer, to get their first role. And there I was living the dream, I suppose. And one day it hit me. So I was working in influencer marketing, but that's not my dream. My love is social media. So I was kind of looking around, okay, how can I get more experience in socials? And I was having a bit of a Sunday panic, you know, when it's Monday tomorrow, you've done nothing all weekend and you have the sudden urge to get your whole life together. I cleaned the whole apartment. I sat down and I was like, okay, Sophie, we graduate in a year. What then? What happens then? Having this sort of midlife crisis, age 23. And so I took to Google, I was jazzing at my CV, and I literally searched words not to use in your CV. And you would think it would be really simple. What are the most common turnoffs? What are words that come up all the time that just aren't groovy? You know, they don't do it. And every single website, so I think there was about 18 million results, if not more. And obviously I didn't go through all of them, but the ones I did go through, everything said something different. And nothing gave really actionable advice that I could take away as a student and be like, okay, cool, I know what to do and what not to do. And I don't know, I guess in this moment of crisis, I thought about all my other struggling students in the pandemic looking to life after graduation and thought, okay, well, I can't find it online. I can't find something anyone else has created. So why not just create this space myself for people who don't know what they're doing, but know where they want to be, and just create something practical that gives comfort and real actionable advice to people who, you know, have big dreams and want to follow them. So a mix of frustration, inspiration, crisis, overwhelmingness, birthed PLM. So very wavy Sunday, you know, not too sure what was going on in my brain on that day, but I'm glad it's led me to this point. And I guess just a real frustration that the world wasn't providing me with what I needed as a student, and wanted to fill that hole for others.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think me and Calvin, like, really relate to that. Obviously, like, that whole graduation and that sheer panic when you realise you've left it. Even a year, in a year's time, you think, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And maybe I've not utilised my time at uni as well as I could. I guess, like, at what point did you start to realise that, like, you were really filling that gap for certain people? Like, did you get feedback straight away? Were people like, oh my God, thank you so much, like, this is exactly the kind of thing I've been looking for? Or was it a bit more of like a slow burning process?
So PLM sort of went from 0 to 100 very quickly. Obviously there are and were other accounts similar to my own. But I think what makes businesses and Instagram communities special is where they come from. So I made it really obvious that PLM was run by someone struggling, just like their audience. So we got, when I say we, I mean me, but I just feel like we as a community yeah. is what we go with. So we got to 800 followers in, I think, 2 weeks, so just 14 days. And I think almost instantly people recognized, you know, this isn't something that we can get at university, and it's something really honest and raw and authentic, which has always been my goal. So yeah, I've been lucky enough to get really lovely feedback, and even still some of the DMs I get, I'm quite an emotional person anyway, so if I see a dog on the sidewalk or I'm watching TV and there's an old couple, I will cry. But some of the DMs I get are just so lovely that they too make me cry. So yeah, I am lucky enough to have a community that are really appreciative, and like, they share that, they're not shy to say thank you or drop me a message about like an interview success or a new job success, which makes me feel very happy. But yeah, so yeah, lucky enough to have had lovely feedback from the start, which is always, it's always a good thing, hey?
Yeah, and I think it's always so important as well to have someone to relate to. Mm-hmm. But I just wondered, did you have any reservations about starting this up? I mean, for me, starting this podcast in November last year, had so many reservations, like nearly didn't do it. So yeah, did you have any reservations about the Instagram page?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I think whenever you put yourself out there, especially online, like, we've all seen the, you know, the comments on Kim Kardashian's post, or like the micro influencers we follow screenshotting to their story the terrible DMs that they get. I think putting yourself out there online comes with the risk of that. But also, like, what about the in real life people? What are they going to say? And I live with my boyfriend. And I didn't tell him for about a week that I'd started this Instagram page, even though, like, we were in the first UK lockdown, we were never more than a room apart from each other. But I remember, like, hiding my phone and hiding my laptop to make these posts, because I don't know, I was just so embarrassed that if someone found out, they would kind of question what I was doing or tell me it was a waste of time, or I don't know, make me question myself. So yeah, definitely was very reserved. It took me a week to tell him. And when I did, he was like, oh, Sophie, that's cool. Like, okay, you know, it's not, we make things a bigger deal to ourselves than they actually are. So yeah, luckily everyone in my life is really supportive of what I do. And the kind of hate messages, so to say, that I have got haven't been too many, and they've never been too deep, you know, just hit them with a block. But yeah, definitely huge reservations. And I think when you put yourself out there, there always is going to be. But yeah, those are the best times to put yourself out there, aren't they? You learn so much about yourself and about what your life could be. And I don't know, something about doing something great when people tell you that you might not be able to feels so good. So yeah, lots of reservations.
Yeah, definitely.
So I suppose, like, a year on, like, how would you say that the success of PLM has, like, impacted your own work life and career, as well as helping all the other students, grads, and everyone else that it has in terms of, like, their careers?
It sounds really dramatic because it's just an Instagram page, it's just a LinkedIn page, but it's genuinely changed my whole life. Again, when I started PLM, I was in my second year, and although I had a job at an agency, and although I had like industry-ish office experience, I didn't know anyone. My kind of knowledge of marketing and the business world was confined to A, past experience, which is very limited, but B, what I was being taught in university, which was, again, very limited, felt quite outdated to me, and didn't really dive into the things I wanted to learn about. So I think it solidified my love for socials. I knew, you know, since I started university, I enjoy social media. But now fully, I feel like I'm just obsessed. My whole life is just me on my phone, learning new things, you know, pressing buttons to see what they do. But outside of that, like, you know, growing new skills and really understanding who I am and what I want to do, it's really got me out there. You know, like we're on this podcast now having a chat because you've seen me online and the opportunities that it's presented similar to this. You know, I've had Zoom calls with people that I've looked up to for years, and I've landed a recent role at a company because they reached out on LinkedIn, and all of these crazy opportunities that have only happened because people have now seen my name on a tiny screen that they hold in their hand. So yeah, it's just really helped me put myself out there, grow my confidence, and introduce me to new opportunities. The internet is a great place, but as we've mentioned, it can be scary to put yourself out there. But yes, absolutely 100% changed my life.
Amazing. That's so cool to hear. I love it. I suppose I was going to touch on as well, because one aspect of, I suppose, public relations marketing we've not touched on yet in the podcast is like social media management. And obviously, I know that's like your bread and butter, what you do day to day and what you're really, really passionate about. But I suppose, like, touching a little bit on about what we're on about before, what would you say are some of the hardest parts of being in social media management or managing social media?
I think I'm sure you get it too. I'm working in the PR space, but I feel like you're constantly on. If you miss one reactive campaign or if a tweet goes viral and you miss it, like, you have a split second before what you then post and create either makes your brand or breaks it, because, you know, it's old news. So having to always be on, and almost like this FOMO, a fear of missing out, but like fear of like your content just missing that mark. You know, when we look back at Weetabix Beans, the whole tweet and how that went viral, the brands that hopped on that quickest benefited the most. So making sure that PLM, my clients, everything I do is relevant to right now. Otherwise, people are just going to see it, think we're lame, think we're losers, and carry on scrolling. So yeah, I think this having to always be on can be a real struggle to balance. You know, you've got so many tasks, I've got so many clients, we've got personal lives that we need to fit in somehow, somewhere. So yeah, always being on and trying to keep, definitely a huge, huge challenge that yeah, can be a struggle for sure.
How do you, like relating to that, how do you, I suppose, decide what is the most important thing for you to jump on, either for PLM or for one of your clients? Is there sort of a process or a way that you can see something, say, trending or a tweet that's breaking and think, okay, I need to act on this? Or is there times when you see something and you think, you know what, I'm going to give this one a miss. It's not worth sort of getting embroiled in it. Like, I wonder what your process is in sort of deciding that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So for me, with PLM from the very start, I set myself a mission statement. So PLM's kind of mission statement and vision is to inform and inspire you to achieve your career dreams. So no matter what I'm doing, whether it's like an encouraging post talking about a bad day, or whether it's 5 CV tips, everything I do, talking on stories, posting on the grid, has to run back to that mission for me. It's like the main message of everything I do. And my clients have similar, but obviously in their own, relevant to their businesses. So when I'm looking at, you know, these viral tweets, Weetabix and Beans, everything else that's going on, is there a way that we can use it too? So yeah, just considering the bigger vision of what we're really trying to achieve, and making sure that the content we do produce, if we do decide to hop on a bandwagon, still shares our same tone of voice, still spreads our message the same way that it would if it was kind of like an infographic or a typical brand post. So yeah, making sure that it's still meeting our mission.
One thing I really wanted to ask you, Sophie, is that how do you actually switch off from social media, considering it is your job and we live in a world which is dominated by it?
It's so tricky because obviously, like you said, social media is my job. But outside of that, it's something I enjoy. Like, I just like being on Instagram. I enjoy scrolling through TikTok. And I think that line becomes really blurred because I'm not on TikTok anymore just to have fun, even though I think I am. But in the back of my head, I'm noting, like, okay, what song are they using? What sounds are trending? Is this a new trend? Can I use this for my clients? So even though you think, you know, it's 8 p.m., you're settling down for bed and you're just scrolling through TikTok, unconsciously, I'm like taking notes in my brain. So that line for me is really blurred. And if I'm honest, I do have in the past and still do find it really difficult. I actually have turned the screen time setting off on my phone because I just don't want to know. It's probably something I need to sit down with myself and really consider because I am on my phone constantly. Even if I leave the laptop, you know, to make a cup of tea in the kitchen, which is the other end of my apartment, my phone's still coming with me, even though it's a 10-step walk. So yeah, I think even for those not in socials and just working in the marketing space in general, we have this FOMO, you know, fear of missing out, whether it be for work or personal life. So yeah, it is a really tricky balance. It's something that I'm definitely on a journey with. I'm not going to pretend that I have it perfected because I think, you know, it's just important to be honest about where we're at. So yeah, right now, absolutely no balance. I'm on my phone from the second I wake up until I go to sleep, whether it be work or, you know, just having fun scrolling. But yeah, unconsciously always taking notes and probably need to sit down and talk with myself about, you know, this balance. But right now, I just don't have the time for that conversation.
I really wanted to touch on and get your opinion on actually about obviously different social media platforms. So it's so weird to think that like TikTok really obviously has had this huge growth all throughout the pandemic. And we almost don't know a world without TikTok that isn't related to the pandemic, which is, I always think is really odd. But then I think we've seen different social media platforms. There was obviously a lot of discussion around Clubhouse and that's relevancy and whether that was a flash in the pan or something that was going to become a bit more of a mainstay. What do you think are the social media platforms of the future, and in what ways do you think that they're going to change and they're going to become part of like our psyche, if that makes sense?
I think TikTok is just it for me. I can't remember, like you said, like what is life before TikTok? Because I can't remember a point ever in my 24 years when I wasn't scrolling through it for hours every day. But I just love everything they do. And I really hope, and I do think that they will be here to stay. One thing I really love about TikTok is how involved in their community they are. So obviously we have TikTok Newsroom, which is a website where they publish the latest trends, and they have a newsletter. And I remember working in my agency, we had like a dedicated account manager. And I feel like as a company, they're just really invested in their people and their users. And then outside of that, if you are a creator, you've got things like the TikTok Creator Fund. So being actually rewarded in ways that can improve and enhance your life, but just by posting and being active on their platform, their algorithm, you know, super high tech and probably one of the best that I have seen in terms of being really tailored. And it's just always good vibes on TikTok. You know, I always end up on the weirdest sides. I see the weirdest videos that, you know, I probably should sit down and talk to someone about, but it's always a good time. And yeah, I just think they've changed everything. You know, Reels now has been inspired by TikTok. I know Snapchat have their own version. And I think it's really challenged other platforms that have dominated for so long and forced them to up their game. And I really hope they continue to, because, you know, a bit of competition is always fun. And yeah, I need something to scroll through. So I hope they stay.
I always find the discourse around like Facebook and like the older social media platforms really interesting. That like, oh, Facebook's dead, like all this. I'm like, do you actually believe that? Or do you think that it's so entrenched in our culture now and everything that we do that we almost won't be able to get away from a world without platforms like Facebook?
Absolutely. I know exactly what you mean. So I hate Facebook. I never spend any time on it. other than in Facebook groups. So like I have a PLM group, I'm in a few other marketing ones, because they're great to find freelance opportunities or ask questions and get quick answers. But outside of that, I don't think I've posted on Facebook in years. And everything on my timeline just seems to be random meme pages that I followed when I was in year seven, back when I was like 13 and 14. So in terms of like my experience when I'm on the app, I absolutely hate it. But if you're talking to my mum, it's her life. It's the way she communicates with her friends. It's the way, you know, she visited our family, her sisters, on the weekend, and they put a bunch of pictures on. And then our wider family commented, and it's her way to stay in touch with people. So I guess it is really dependent on why you're on socials and what sort of demographic you fall into. For me, you know, our attention span as millennials or Gen Z is drastically decreasing. So anything more than a 7-second TikTok, I'm just not interested in, and I can't engage with. Whereas for my mum, you know, wise old boomers and whatnot, you know, Facebook's just it for them. So I think it is quite dependent. But yeah, for me, Facebook is a no. It's not the one for me.
They go through phases, whereas obviously when we were younger, Facebook was, I mean, after like MSN and things like that, Facebook was the next best thing. Mm-hmm. And then obviously with Twitter, Instagram, like we've sort of moved away with that. But then, like you said, the older generation like tend to stick with what they know.
Yeah.
It's the same that my mum has TikTok and she loves going on it.
Oh, does she? I don't think my mum knows what TikTok is. I describe it to her as Instagram with videos. And that's as far as we can go.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't make TikToks, like that's a bit too far. But yeah, she'll like scroll through.
I love that. My mum pretends she doesn't know what she's doing, but it's like she pretends she has no idea what she's doing with Instagram, and then she'll mention something about like me or my sister, and I'll be like, how do you know that? She'll be like, oh, I saw it on your Instagram story. I'm like, oh, I don't know what you're doing, really.
I love that.
I was going to ask as well, Sophie, like, obviously you're doing it yourself with PLM, but obviously with clients, and it's quite a broad question, I suppose, but what would you consider are the key things that make a good and consistent social media strategy?
Mm-hmm. That is a good question. I would say two things come to mind, which are like the complete opposites, but number one being flexibility. So obviously we mentioned jumping on trends really quickly. And then we mentioned TikTok also, which came up out of the blue and, you know, got hundreds and millions of users in the space of months. So the sort of flexibility to A, change your content schedule, but also the flexibility to try new things. If we look at like companies who have gone out of business recently, it's because they didn't keep up. You know, they weren't on TikTok, they weren't making use of things like Reels and new features on platforms that are really being pushed. So I think the flexibility to try new things is really important. Like we said, there are people like our parents who they like to stick with what they know, which is fine. But when you look at it from a business perspective, you have to keep up or you're just going to be left behind. So I think half of what makes for a good social media strategy is both of those flexibilities. But then outside of that, and I guess almost on the opposite side, would be a clear vision. So knowing, okay, I'm on social media because I want to achieve this, and knowing that. And when you're creating your content strategy or when you're, you know, scoping out new platforms to use, making sure that everything has a really consistent message. One thing I always ask myself, which is really brutal, and sometimes I hurt my own feelings, but whenever I create content for PLM or my clients, I'll always ask, so what? Like, if I saw this in my Instagram feed, so what? What does this mean to me? And sometimes, it hurts because you spend hours making a post. You ask yourself, so what? And it just doesn't meet the mark. You can't see the value. You're not learning anything. It's not inspirational. And it just has to go in the digital bin. So always taking it back to that so what, like what does this mean to people? Why should they see this? Why should I take up a space in their newsfeed with this piece of content? I think is really key. It's great to be your own biggest biggest fan, and I for sure am, but you have to be real with yourself. You know, if something you've created is absolute rubbish, and it's not the best of you or the best of your brand, then it's time to revisit and revise that strategy. And so, yeah, I think number one is flexibility to, A, you know, keep up with what's going on, and also have the space in your schedule to hop on new trends as they come and go. And then second would be a clear vision. So always asking yourself that. So what does this even mean? And what is the point? I think it's painful, but essential.
And I suppose it might be more relevant with like certain clients, but I always found it really fascinating when learning about like social media management and stuff like that, how much the lines between that and like crisis comms and crisis management obviously now are blurred, as it's sort of, mm-hmm. you know, consumers' first port of call for brands and stuff like that. So how much of your job would you consider to be sort of dealing with like crisis management and things like that?
It is funny, isn't it, how social media just intertwines into everything. Even things like HR, which would seem part like poles apart from social media. Everything you do online as a business builds your employer brand. So somehow social media wiggles its way into everything. Whenever I describe my job to like a mum's friend or someone who just isn't, you know, in the digital space, yeah. I don't really know what to tell them because I do everything. So yeah, in terms of like crisis comms and dealing with those sort of bits, I have to, when I create any piece of content, especially in my agency role. So I'm currently working at a company called Wiser, and we deal with some really cool and really big clients. It's not a case of posting, you know, it's a case of, okay, let's get approval. If we didn't like our business, how would this be perceived? What could be said? Is there anything that can be dug up from the past that anyone has said? So like doing the groundwork before I post something to mitigate any risk, is a big part of my role. And then posting and keeping all of my fingers crossed that no one crawls out of a hole and leaves a horrible comment and makes my job harder, is always a big part of a role. But yeah, so if anything does come up, dealing with that straight away, you know, removing the post or coming up with a really cohesive and authentic response with my clients is key. But yeah, it's not something, you know, when I look at social media management, I never really thought my role would include anything PR related. But I think you're right, like that line between different job roles is just becoming so blurry that it is essential for myself and other social media managers to, you know, again, be flexible. My role is social media community manager. So, you know, I'm making content, I'm engaging with our community, but I have to wear different hats and be really flexible and agile with that is really important, else, you know, who knows what could happen.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's about being like adaptable as well, like you said, about having to react and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I mean, it'd be interesting to know as well, what brands out there do you think are killing it on social media? Like they've got it down to a T and they know what they're doing.
I feel like I have different favorites in different spaces. So on TikTok, I absolutely love Ryanair. I don't know if you've seen like all of their TikToks. I don't know who runs their account, but I need to be put in touch with them because they deserve an award. So if you're listening and you haven't seen, they are just like meme central. They jump on every trend. Everything they do is hilarious. Nothing is actually related to Ryanair, but I love it. So I think in the TikTok space, I think Ryanair is absolutely so much fun. LinkedIn, Monzo is a big winner for me. I love their tone of voice, and especially across Twitter too, actually. For an online bank, you'd think they'd be really corporate and boring, but I think they make it really youthful and playful and really colourful and gamified ways, which I find really fun. I don't really follow many brands on Instagram. My Instagram is just full of PLM and community and like, you know, fashion influencers. So nothing too exciting. And then outside of the social space, or I guess everywhere, I absolutely love everything KFC do, which is funny because I don't actually eat meat. So I'm conflicted when looking at my lifelong dream to be a part of their social team, but also not supporting that industry. So, you know, do you follow your heart or do you follow your brain? I'm not sure on that one yet, but I just love companies that are fun, you know, being playful in what they do and using the social space to really get involved and make people laugh is a breath of fresh air for me. So yeah, Monzo, KFC and Ryanair, I think is super fun.
I love that. I think it's really interesting as well. Like I've seen a lot of Ryanair's TikToks, and I think for a brand that often comes under so much scrutiny for like their practices and stuff, I think the way that they've develop their TikTok strategy, like you said, is a breath of fresh air, because it kind of doesn't relate almost with the brand itself, but because of that, it's like a nice new avenue for them. I really like
that. Definitely.
So to round off, Sophie, we always ask every guest that comes on the podcast a couple of quick fire questions. So we'll finish off with some quick fire questions. Just answer the first thing that comes into your head. Okay. So Callum, if you want to start us off.
Yeah, so I feel like we've already touched on this, but what is your favourite social media platform?
TikTok.
Definitely. If you had to pick, Sophie, your favourite place in the UK, where would it be?
Oh, London.
One album you can listen to all the way through?
Olivia Rodrigo's new album, Sour.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
Yeah, that is a really good shout. What is your dream client to work with?
KFC.
What is your perfect 3-course dinner?
Ooh, garlic bread to start, obviously. For the main, probably the biggest, greasiest, cheesiest pizza you could find me. And then to wrap up, a chocolate cake, because who doesn't need the massive stomach ache dairy gives you? Not me.
When you were a kid, what was your dream job?
I wanted to be a spy.
Oh my God, I wanted to be a spy.
Oh, okay. We could have done it together.
Yeah, I always wanted to be a mini James Bond.
Same. Sad time.
Was that inspired by Spy Kids as well? I used to love that film.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And like, to be totally spies, if anyone watched that.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So finally, what is your most used emoji?
I'm not sure. I think it's probably this one, you know, with the hands up. When you don't know what to say, so you defend people like the praising emoji. Probably that one.
Yeah, definitely. I do that all the time as well.
No worries.
Ace. Well, thanks so much, Sophie. It's honestly been such a pleasure having you on. I've been so excited to chat to you and learn so much about what you do. And it's been so, so insightful. Feel free to follow Sophie on Instagram. She's at Pretty Little Marketer. If you don't already follow it, then you definitely should be doing. And if you have any questions, I'm sure she'll be happy to answer the Masters podcast as well.
And if you've enjoyed the podcast today, please like and subscribe on whatever channel you're listening through, and to get involved in today's conversation, please reach out to us on Twitter at PR People Pod.